Thank you, Steve Quell. This is Russ Dizdar. Listen, tonight, survivetothrive.net. Check it out. I had made many plans today. I had planned to go out and to get some things done and accomplished. I had planned to go down to the post office and to the bank and a few other places. Car wouldn't start. I tried it again. The car wouldn't start. I tried it five more times. Have no idea what the problem is. And couldn't even take the time to mess with it today. So you know what? What I planned for today, what I thought I would accomplish today, definitely got sidetracked. And I want to tell you right now, that's what happens in life. I don't know about you, but we're talking this week, and the topic for the entire week is glimpses of actual future history. Now, yesterday, I did not have a glimpse of today. Yesterday, if you would have asked me about what are some of the events that are going to occur today on Tuesday, I would have said, listen, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I had all these plans. I assumed. I would have never guessed that that little car out there wouldn't start. I would have never guessed that there was a problem. And I don't even know what it is. And so there was an altering. That's where contingencies come in. And so, listen, I'm thinking now on for Wednesday. What am I going to do on Wednesday? What am I going to do tomorrow? Can I ask you a question? Does tomorrow already exist somehow in the future? Is there a Russ Dizdar out there already on a Wednesday, December the 2nd? Is he working on the car? Is he getting other things done? Does he have the car towed? What goes on Wednesday, December the 2nd? Now, that's tomorrow. You know what Jesus said about not worrying about tomorrow because every day has enough trouble of itself. We can't change anything personally by fear, by fearing tomorrow and worrying about tomorrow. You can't change a hair on your head. But I want you to know something. The future is, well, in one sense out there. It is very clear that God not only sees our future, but I want you to know something. God doesn't see his future. God doesn't see what he's going to do tomorrow. Not while he exists in timelessness. Not while he is there as the infinite God beyond time, but able to work intimately and directly and specifically in time. Now, for you and I, we talk about the future. We talk about prophecy. We talk about prediction. And that prediction about tomorrow. Now, I predict this. Going to get the car fixed tomorrow. Going to work on more course material to put up for the spiritual gifts course. Gonna be doing some web work. Gonna make some phone calls to individuals. Gonna do a live show at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow night right here. Now, I assume that. I plan that. It's part of my schedule. I work over my schedule. I pray concerning the schedule. I look over the entire year. A year ago, if you would have asked me, hey, Russ, would you be on Steve Quayle's network sharing? I would have said I couldn't have guessed. Please understand, there are some things that you can think through and plot and plan about future history. But I want you to know something right now. You know how it is. If you look over your own life, some of the plans you had, some of the goals you had, some of the things you wanted to accomplish in life and you didn't get done. For some of you, God has invaded your life, altered your life, turned you around, and set you off in a different direction. Let me tell you something. God has an actual future history. God now can come in and engage you and say, come, follow me. You know, like Jesus said, you know, take up your cross and follow me. And by doing that, there is a whole new future. Does that change the actual future? No. Is that going to change things right now in the midst of contingencies? Yes. I want to talk about tonight concerning getting these glimpses of actual future history. I mentioned yesterday. Now listen, yesterday, the way in which we sometimes prepare for the future, whether that's tomorrow or a year from now, whether you're going to send your kids to college or have a retirement fund, some people are thinking about the future in the sense of building up gold and finance and survival gear. I've got an email coming from a friend that I said I would bring out today. I'm going to do that in just a moment concerning questions they've had. Whether we should prepare or not prepare. Whether we should just say, well, God is sovereign and whatever happens, he'll take care of me. So we're going to take a look at preparing for the future. But here's four things I mentioned on Monday night. I mentioned that we kind of plot the future, our own lives, by looking at the past. Looking at yesterday, the day before, and everything else. I do a lot of evaluating to make sure that I'm trying to get the most out of everything that I'm doing, studies and prayer and, all the things. My whole life has this context of what am I going to do to bear fruit, to do things and accomplish the mission that God has given me. And I think in terms of the will of God, I also know in Timothy it talks about how some have been taken captive to do the will of Satan. And I know that as we do this program tonight, there's going to be those who are believers in Christ all over the world. There's going to be those who do recon on the shows to check out what is being said. There are going to be Luciferians and Satanists. There's going to be psychics and remote viewers and many others that are going to listen. All of us come from different perspectives, but let me ask again whether or not, whatever perspective you're coming from, do you know the future? Do you know your own? Now, believers in Christ, they're going to say, well, yes, Christ is coming. Believers in Christ are going to say, well, yeah, the Antichrist is going to come. Great catastrophes are going to come. This is going to come. The abyss is going to be opened up. The two witnesses are coming. Listen, God has given us glimpses of actual future global impacting events that involves real history. You can look backwards at yesterday and I can tell you what occurred on Monday. That's actual what occurred, what I did, where I went, what I, you know, some of the things that I, you know, said on the air. We've got archives to where everything that was said yesterday has been archived, recorded, and it's already up and already being downloaded for others to listen to. Today, we are right now in the midst of the first 10 minutes of this show, and within the next 50, we're going to see how the Spirit of God guides and leads. See, there's contingencies even in this talk show, because I know one thing. There's a supernatural element in this message or in this talk or in this discussion between you and me, all those that are listening, those who have come to listen live or by the archives later. And you might say, well, I did this by accident or somebody sent it to me or I just came across this. See, I understand the providence of God, the way God arranges things so that he can embrace individuals and summon them and speak to them. It's an amazing thing that someone here, sitting where I am, the Spirit of God compelling and guiding, and yet you may be from Canada or England or Australia or some other nation, and at this same moment in time, the Spirit of God beginning to interact with you. It's an amazing thing to think about the infinite nature of God, the omniscience, the omnipresence, let alone the omnipotence. I mean, God is big. God is so big that there's an attribute we talk about in theology, that God is immeasurable. You cannot measure God. You cannot measure the distance, the length, the height, the depth, the width. If you were to try to take some measuring instrument based on, finite in every single way, if you wanted to take God and put him under a finite, limited, little microscope and try to somehow look at God. We're going to talk about in a couple of weeks the God particle. At least we're going to embrace the discussion. God's beyond the God particle. God's beyond so many of the things that even the greatest of scientists are just scratching the surface of the created order. Maybe of the energies and powers behind, but of God? Can we really drag God into a microscope and with finite, limited eyes peer into the infinite? Peer into infinity. Infinite in knowledge, infinite in wisdom, infinite in love, infinite in holiness, infinite in all of what God is, has always been. That's why we read things like in Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, Yahweh Adonai, the scripture says. And he says, who was and is to come. This is all about the infinite, timeless God interacting in finite, time-oriented humanity. I mean, after all, God did create time. After all, you and I are finite and we are linear. We are sequential. Just like the minutes of this show. We are now 13 minutes into the show. Did I know exactly what I would be saying at 7:13? With 37 seconds? No. Did God? The omniscience of God knows not only what I'm going to say in the next few seconds, but the rest of my life. No matter what I do. We're going to talk about, does the future already exist? A. B is contingencies. Can you fake God out? And C, we're going to talk about theoretical futures. And then in the context of that, we're going to talk about deceptive future. The offer of a future that has no will or power to bring about what is promised. A dark future. A deceptive future. And right now the world is being embraced by the most unprecedented and powerful deception that will only get thicker and broader and deeper as we approach globalism. Now, the last thing, D, we're going to talk about today is actual events, future history as actual events. Now, to the remote viewers and to the psychics and to the others that are saying, hey, we're able to go into the future a little bit. I mean, Ed Dames says that he is a remote view of the future and he sees gloom and doom. I mean, this is a guy that they've called on Coast to Coast, Dr. Doom. And I've heard this from others. Listen, as we talk about in this 1 hour that we have together, this is December the 1st, 2009. I can barely believe that we've already entered December. I feel weeks behind from all the things that have occurred lately. And now, with the car not working today, I definitely feel behind in getting things done. But that's all right. That's how life is. That's what goes on. That's why there is, I want you to know something. If you want to have the best future, you need right now in the present, right now in the present, you need to discover the person, power, love, and grace of God. The Bible talks about the will of God, the desire of God, the plan of God as being good, pleasing, and perfect. You can't get any higher than that. Well, listen, if you're brand new tonight, survivetothrive.net, we want you to know, and listen, I'm just a guest host tonight here, Russ Dizdar. For our website, if you want hundreds of downloads of MP3s and information, shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. And we just put up on the site tonight, starting for December the 1st, 31 Days of Blaze. Now, those are 10 or 15 minute devotionals. They're words for believers in Christ that would encourage you and lead you to the Word of God. And this month, the emphasis or the overall theme for 31 Days Ablaze is simply this: power to turn the world right side up. Power to turn the world right side up. Now, that might include your personal world, the world immediately around you. And can you, as a believer, have any effect nationally? Question is, why not? And so if you want to listen to the first one, December the 1st, it's already up there. And it's about 14 minutes long. We'll try to keep between 10 and 14, 15 minutes. I need to tell you of another series that's coming that I think is going to be one of the most important series. We have a series on discernment going on. We have a series on the Antichrist going on. We have the series on Psy Warriors or remote viewing going on. All of those you can find on the ShatterTheDarkness.net site. And you can, you know, get a hold of those web pages and see the next things that we have. We have a newsletter coming out. Actually, it'll be partly tonight and tomorrow will be sent out. And it'll have the newest podcasts, broadcasts, and even radio interviews that we've done. We, again, are in great gratitude to God for Steve Quayle and allowing us to have this time. And we're going to be on, and we were just on with Richard Keltner this last weekend from, well, you can again go to the Shadow of the Darkness site and you will see the interview or the way you can find that interview from last week. And it's just simply Watchman Radio, and there's a link there. I'll be on with Dr. Stan Monteith in an interview December the 9th and December the 15th of this month. And also December the 5th, Outlaw Warrior Society Radio. This is going to be a brand new one that we've never done before. On the 17th of December, there's a thing called Proof Negative show. And again, see that on the sites. But the big thing, the big news is this. A series that we're going to bring out called An Aggressive Approach, subtitled Engaging the Demonization of Just About Everything. Now, you're going to have to check this out, because when you take a look at that site, and it will begin here in December, I can't tell you when it's going to be done. We've learned now very clearly with all the requests and all the things we're involved with that though we plan and though we want certain things done, well, we learned it very clearly in October, December. We were basically taken out for about 4 weeks of trying to get things accomplished. Way behind, so many things that occurred. Listen, there is a spiritual war, a battle going on. And even if you get setbacks, well, they might not be. We find God and His grace and His purpose even in the midst of what we would think is a setback. We learn how to respond. We learn how to stand. We learn how to gain a perseverance that just, listen, by God's grace, will not quit. The series, An Aggressive Approach, is for believers in Christ. It's going to be dealing with what do we do right now, since the church is about 20 to 30 years behind on the concepts of spiritual warfare, spiritual engagement, deliverance, the evangelization of the world. There is a mission going on that brings the totality of heaven's grace and mercy. And I'm saying that the majority of believers I know are not living under that umbrella of God's frontline grace and mission. And so an aggressive approach, dealing with what's going on now, in the light of biblical prophecy, what we are going to have to do as unprecedented spiritual deception, seduction, demonic manifestation, counterfeit signs and wonders, all of this is coming in the broader sense, in the in-your-face sense, the critical mass, a spiritual sense in the air that brings an unbelieving world into conflict with a simple believer in Christ. Crazy things and shooters and wars, catastrophes and, well, everybody asking, 2012, what's going to happen? Webbot, what's going to happen? That's why millions, I would say now personally, billions all around the world, there is a sense that the future involves catastrophic events. And I agree. Catastrophic events. Jesus said of these days that are coming that they would be unprecedented, unequaled in all of history. Do you get that? I don't know if the world gets that. If you think what you see in the world right now is bad, my friends, we haven't scratched the surface of the rise of satanic and demonic manifestation that pushes towards a totally Luciferian globalism that brings about Satan in human skin, the Antichrist, and the last 7 years of human history. I want to say again to all that are listening, please hang on. Take a listen. If you're interested in if you're interested in the future, and I challenge, again, psychics and remote viewers and others, I challenge you concerning your perceptions about future history. I'm going to speak about four ways in which millions are involved trying to look at the future. Then I'm going to continue to mention that there is an infinite, omniscient, omnipresent. I mean, there is a presence that is so absolutely beyond time and all the limitations of sequential history. God is outside of it. God is acting in it. God is acting before it, behind it. I mean, the Word of God simply says in Romans 11 that His ways are beyond tracing out. Let me mention four things real quick. Number one, we look at the future based on the past. Based on how we've lived, what's been going on, we begin to plot out, you know, how we've chosen and what we've done and things that have occurred. Even tomorrow's plans have a lot to do with the contingencies that occurred today. So what occurred earlier today, 12 o'clock here locally is already the past. 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, each time I went out trying to figure out how to start that car, that's all the past. But now tomorrow and the planning for the future and what will occur has brought that contingency into tomorrow, well, even into this moment, even into tonight. And what I'm going to need to do to accomplish things in the context of dealing, well, with a car that doesn't start. That's a little thing. So the past has a lot to do with us plotting out the future. Even this evening is going to be a little bit changed from what I planned. Now, the second thing is this, trends. Individuals will study and research trends. Marketers will do this. And those who want to give insight to business, military war strategists and so forth. And there'll be those who will study the trends. Futurologists are involved in this. They're going to look at the trends of people's purchasing. That's why they want those chips everywhere. That's why they want to aggressively calculate what you buy, what you want, and feed things to you. And, they want to manipulate everything. And even that needs to be fought against. So trends. And many people that are speaking about the future are basing it on researched trends globally, nationally, economically, environmentally, on the military side, political side. What is the trend in America right now? Is it going to be socialism in the end? Will 30,000 troops in Afghanistan be enough? Will it do the job? What's going on there? What's happening there? Will the Israelis eventually bomb the nuclear weapons factories in Iran? Everybody's asking the questions. Everybody's trying to bring conjecture and look at the trends and possibilities. That's all on the research and on what may or may not occur. Now, there's also technology. That's the third thing. And computers are being used to calculate things. And probably the best known right now is this, and you can Google it or whatever you do. You can take a look at Webbot and the millions of bytes of information that are being crunched, looking for the emotional language that gives some level of prediction. It's kind of a weird thing. Computer, technology, web spiders, gathering the information. And the interesting thing is that whether you're using the past, whether you're using the trends, or whether you're using the technology like Webbot, what is everybody saying? Everybody has catastrophe and chaos, and some with the hopes of a new world. It's all out there. There's a fourth area, and here is where there are two sides to the fence. And this is where spiritual enablement comes in. Comes into Nostradamus, comes into Edgar Cayce, comes in from the Akashic Records, as they call it. Comes down passively as data into the unconscious mind of the remote viewer that becomes eventually a conscious thing. And so there is spiritual enhancement on all kinds of levels that are giving predictions about the future. And people are listening to psychics. Why do you think that millions of people will look up their astrology and see what their day is going to be like? Why would you think even Nancy Reagan speaking to and adjusting schedules for the most powerful leader in the world based on astrology? Or Hillary Clinton talking to the dead? Or in Barack Obama's White House, the powers of voodoo and dark magic being involved that touches the future? There's a finite side. There is a purposed and plotted out deceptive, well, promises for the future, predictions of the future coming from the dark side. I've never met an underground, deep, transgenerational Satanist that hasn't been convinced by the powers of darkness, by the what they would call the brilliant light of Lucifer, the serpent, believing that they will win in the end. It's why they're gearing up and plotting for war. Satan has a sequential, step-by-step agenda. It's all unfolding. And then, my friends, there is the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God giving pictures of actual future history. Hey, take a moment here. Take a listen to Steve Quayle and some of the great products. Hey, I want to say just a thank you to Steve Quayle. And as we re-enter this second part of the show tonight, we want to I want to bring in an email tonight that came in, and it involves Steve also. And well, here's what it is, and I won't mention their name on the air, but they sent me an email that I think is very important, and a good one too. Here's what it says, quote, "People such as Alex Jones and Steve Quayle are constantly asking us to prepare for the end times by buying food that we can store, gold to trade, and in case of Alex Jones, buy guns to protect ourselves. Is this biblically sound? Jesus sent the disciples out with nothing but their faith, and God provided for them. Are we not supposed to die for our faith like mentioned in Matthew 24:9? Now listen, that's a very good question being brought up. I dealt with it in the book we just put out called The Black Awakening, the fourth section that deals with responses to what's happening in the world. And I think that all of Scripture has to come in. I want you to remember, on the one side, yes, Jesus, look at Luke's Gospel chapter 10. He sent the disciples out. Wherever they went, there was food. He was teaching them about relying upon God, relying upon the Lord working in their lives and bringing food. And we can see that happen. We can see, look, listen, the book of Acts shows both. I agree with Alex Jones on the subject, and more so with Steve Quayle on the subject of preparing for end times food and or gold. Now, I don't have any gold. I'm not a person in that category at this time in my life. But I will tell you this. Let me tell you what occurred here a few months back. All of a sudden, the power grid in our area went out. Now, that's happened just the other day, twice, for about 3 or 4 seconds. It struck and everything, everything had to be rebooted and everything had to come back on, line here. But I'm not talking about that. When the power grid went out in the entire area, guess what occurred? We didn't have electricity. As time went on, the electricity didn't run the pumps for water. The refrigerators got warm. All the food was destroyed. And we just went through a couple of days. I mean, it was weird. Everything around was silent. I mean, the neighbors, everything around us, people hardly even drove anywhere. Because just when the electrical grid in our local area was affected. Well, I want you to know something. I didn't get to take a shower for 2.5 days. My wife and daughter went out to the grandmother's house and took care of things there. I stayed here to watch things. And there was, decisions on what kind of food to eat and, what we're going to do with the things that, got destroyed in the midst of these 2.5 days. And it convinced me very clearly that even in normal things and in weather conditions and in tough areas, I will say yes. Prepare, yes, food, yes, gold and things that you can do to involve trade for that, those future days. Now, I'm not saying, listen, I base that on two things. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about us taking a look at an ant, and looking how it stores up its provisions. You can check it out, do a search in the book of Proverbs. Simply God showing us that an ant itself works and stores up and has the provisions for the future. Now, there's another factor in all of this. In the book of Acts, when all kinds of battle and warfare and contingencies were coming in, the church was being scattered and things were, they're having to go every kind of direction. And there were so many believers around. If you remember, there was a dispute about the daily provisions of food. And so the apostles appointed 6 individuals to take care of those issues while they continue to preach the word of God, the gospel. Now, if you read the book of Acts, you're going to read about a man named Abagus, a prophet. And the Spirit of God himself guided Abagus to warn the body of Christ that a severe famine is coming. And with that prophetic utterance through the prophet Abagus about a severe famine, the church responded and prepared for what was about to occur. And that, my friends, is a good thing. And I believe that's what Steve Quayle is doing when he looks at biblical prophetic events. When I look at biblical prophetic events, no different than the Spirit of God speaking personally through Abagus to the early church about severe conditions and about preparations and the church's response in preparing. I say in my book, yes, prepare in great and deep and broad ways. I give outlines. I encourage you to read some very, very good books, to go to survivalmall.com, things like that. And the reason is, there's everything right with preparing, but as a Christian, I prepare to also minister to people, to feed others, to care for others. If massive catastrophe or if the region, all the lights and everything go out, and if I have generators and if I have food and if I have, you know, shelter and things like that, as a believer in Christ, I'm setting it up to help others, my family, and to help others as a point of ministry. So I believe that based on biblical prophetic, well, like with Abagus or like in biblical prophecy, you know, preparing for these days is a very good thing. Now, it doesn't teach us to hide out somewhere underground until it's all over. You and I are called to be the light of the world, witnesses in the world. And there's no question, as God sent, well, Peter and the disciples and eventually Paul and Philip, as you look at what they did as they launched out, sometimes, as it says in Hebrews 11 with Abraham, not knowing where they were going, being obedient to God, they launched out and God did provide. When Peter was put into prison, there were those that were praying. Now listen, that was a battle, and angels had shown up and opened the doors, opened the iron gates, and got him out of there. There's no question that I believe that God should be depended upon for provisions and blessings. And it may just be that those of you who are storing up and preparing, along with being a powerful, good, end-time witness for Christ until he comes, that God will be using your life to be someone who can bring provisions. So yes, prepare, plan. I outline this in the book also. But that does not negate the incredible, supernatural, providential things that God can do. And finally, it doesn't negate the fact that many believers in the great chaos to come, in the mid part of the tribulation, is a prediction of a global persecution of believers. Yes, some believers will die for their faith. If you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you've read an older work on the early church and persecutions and the death of believers. A great book. It'll inspire you too. But I think another book that needs to be read is the one that's like a sequel called By Their Blood. It's about three times the size as Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it deals with the fact that more believers worldwide in the 20th century have been martyred than in the entire history of the church. Look at those in the Sudan. Should they prepare? Should they stock up food for their family? Should they have things in their cupboard? That's a good thing. Most people, if you go to their house, and probably everyone I'm talking to you right now, if we open the cupboards in your kitchen, there's going to be food there. You've already prepared, well, for what, a week, 2 weeks, a month? So when Steve and others, and including myself, will talk about preparing, that is based on biblical prophetic revelation about the kind of days. Ultimately, though, it's how we can then be freed up to be a great witness and also use what we have to minister to others. Never negating, my friends, though, if literally all this chaos breaks out, society's collapsing, America's collapsing, and you find yourself that your house is burnt down and whatever else, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and have entrusted your life completely to him, whatever occurs, you're in God's hands. Can he supernaturally bring you aid? Yes. Can he guide you to where you can find food and shelter? Yes. Can he send angels to help? Obviously, yes. If it comes down to you dying for your faith and because of your witness of Christ, well, then like Stephen, go out in the glory of God. One thing that I tell all believers, and that I think is a rotting shame in the body of Christ, is this enormous fearfulness to the point that, like the ancient Israelites hiding in the rocks from Goliath and his blaspheming of God on a daily basis. No miracle up there in the rocks. No change. Listen, to the dear friend that is emailed, you can be sure that God wants you to experience his provision and blessing and love and his interventions. And that's why I keep telling everybody, I think the book of Acts is a great field manual to see how they and how we can live in the context of mission and trusting Christ with the reality that even prophets like Abagus can speak and tell us to prepare severe famine, troubled times, get things ready. Even this occurred with Joseph in the Old Testament in one of the largest kingdoms of the world that ultimately brought a doorway for God, and God did this, and this is an incredible thing in his life that occurs. So God does help us to prepare. And I think that if you look at Steve Quayle, and I think in terms of like Abagus, that there is that quality of knowing biblical prophecy, seeing the signs of the times, telling believers, prepare, 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 get what you got to get. I would include, do it with the mentality as a believer that you're doing it to help others also. Prepare to be the greatest witness in Christ ever in history. And if you got to go out with spiritual grace, power, and might, blazing for the glory of God. Win as many as possible. No matter what occurs, win as many as possible. So that's my answer to the email. I want to touch back here with our last 16 minutes here in the show, touching on this subject. The topic tonight is this. Does the future already exist? Contingencies, theoretical futures, and then what will occur? So there's four things. Let me go over them, okay? Number one, does the future already exist? Number two, contingencies. Number three, theoretical futures. And number four, actual future events. Now, again, for those who are new, welcome to SurviveToThrive.net, 7 p.m. here Eastern Standard Time. And we appreciate you being here. I am the guest host, Russ Dizdar. All of our information can be found at ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And thousands, well, I don't want to say that yet. We've seen over 1,000 MP3s and interviews and so forth that are up and out there on the web. But there are so many, hundreds and hundreds for you free out there to benefit and to respond to a lot of the discussions and concerns of the day that we live in. And this is one of those. Everybody is engaging discussion on the future. I'm going to say bluntly, clearly, wonderfully, and with heaven's optimism that God already not only knows the future, but not like we would know glimpses. He's not looking into the future. Dear friends, God is beyond the future. God's not catching up. No one's teaching him. There's no one to learn from. The attribute of God, infinity, is literally an attribute of God that needs to be, grasped well, as much as we possibly can. And I think it's very important because as we look at these four issues right here, and let me start with number one, does the future already exist? And that is, let me ask you a question. This show has about 13 minutes left in it. At 8 o'clock, when I get done with everything here, it takes me some time to finish up everything and put up archives, all that kind of stuff. And then I have plans for tonight. Can they be changed? Yes. Do I have a perspective of what I'm going to do from now until about 2 o'clock in the morning? Yes. Do I have things I want to accomplish? Yes. Am I going to get something to eat? Yes. As of right now, that is my plan. Now, if the grid goes out and all the lights are out and my car doesn't work, well, then I'm going to have an adaptive approach. But that doesn't answer the question. The question is this: does the future already exist? And in one sense, I'm going to tell you clearly, no. Tomorrow doesn't actually, in actual time, exist. Now, I know there's a lot of theoretical discussion that it already exists, that it's already seen, that it's already experienced. If anybody knows, and again, I'm going to bring out a Greek word, gnosko, and the Greek word prognosis, and the idea of foreknowledge. The gnosko in the scriptures used so many times, it involves an experiential, a deeply experiential knowledge. And pro, before that, it deals with the idea of foreknowledge. And God has foreknowledge. He has an intimate, absolutely detailed, there's not a hair on a head of anyone in the future or in the past or in the present that God doesn't already know immediately and eternally. So you and I are thinking these thoughts sequentially. You and I are having to go through these things sequentially. God knows all things at all times, always. He never forgets. There's never any, he doesn't have this, some people talk about we have a long-term memory and a short-term memory. Some people, if you ever did a study on mind-brain studies of the mind, it's an incredible study that just about everything you see and hear in life does get recorded, but it's the bigger things, the things that impact, that encode into your memory. Now, listen, being past 50 years old, there's a lot of memories, and if somebody says, well, where did you live when you was a kid? It brings up 804 Lindsay Avenue. It brings up all my friends that lived in the neighborhood. It brings up that little house. It brings up the upstairs where my brother and I had the upstairs bedroom. And in the summertime, with no air conditioning back in those days of the 60s, that it was hot and sweaty at night times in the summer. That we had this gigantic fan that was locked into the window. That we had separate beds. That we would have pillow fights up there in that bedroom. So I could tell you about the past. And based on the memory that's left in me. But I'm not thinking of some things right now. So it's really like there's a depository. But we do not have the ability to know all of our past, all of our present, consciously, all at the same moment. Here's what I think that our minds should be blown. That our concepts, theoretical or whatever else, should be blown out the waters. When we talk about God's omniscience, knowing all things, literally knowing all things at all times, always, God doesn't sit there and have to recall the past. He never has a problem with memory. Well, let me give you one exception. In the book of Hebrews, when it talks about the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins, it talks about God will never, based on that forgiveness of Christ and his blood, he will remember our sins no more. Isn't that a great thing? That he forgives us and washes the sin away, and it's no longer there. Well, the Word of God, and I take the Word of God as the truth that he remembers our sins no more. And maybe you're listening right now and you don't have a relationship with God, yet you're here right this moment in time in history. Right now in the age of grace, which means God loves you, God is seeking you, God wants you to come home. And Jesus provided that by the cross, what he did there, and the resurrection from the dead, and it's about salvation. And that's all about you coming to know God in Christ. And the biblical, the word of God's promise that whoever, wherever you are, calls on the name of the living Christ and says, Jesus, I believe in you, I accept you as Lord and Savior right here and now, come into my life, give me the gift of your Spirit and eternal life. Listen, it's going to happen. That's the promise of God. That's what happened in my life 36 years ago. God did what he said he would do. And he is out to bring the good news to every single human existing on this planet. Did you know that? We're talking about number one. Does the future already exist? In the sense that God sees, interacts in all the contingencies, all the theory, all the things possible. And then it comes down to what is actual. And then we look at biblical prophecy. In that sense, the future exists and is solidified. Will there be a rise of an Antichrist? Yes. Will the abyss be opened? Yes. Will there be two witnesses that stun the world with a message from God and supernatural signs and wonders for 3.5 years? Yes. Will Christ come out of the heavens visibly and return in a second coming? Absolutely, yes. Will there be an end to all of evil? Yes. Will there be a millennial age where the Prince of Peace and the end of war begins? Yes. Will there be a great white throne judgment? Absolutely, yes. There are future things that we can get glimpses of, and it exists in that sense. Now, people will talk about time travel, and I have sat down and discussed this with individuals that are very, very astute. Now, they really understand this, and remote viewers, even though they believe they can go into the future, their accuracy concerning the issues are very limited. And when they go to the past, what's happening when remote viewers go to the past, because of what they're relying on, they're getting a reinterpretation of past events. Now, we'll talk about that in the series on remote viewers if you want to check that out. Does the future already exist? In actuality, right now in our time and space, no. Because 8 o'clock has not yet got here. Does God know? Does God see? Is God 100% infinitely knowledgeable and can tell exactly what it's going to be at 8 o'clock tonight? Yes. Yes. There's nothing that God doesn't see about the future or the past or the present, all at the same moment, without interruption, without the need of finite, sequential, or linear thinking. I'm telling you, God is so vastly beyond us, yet he loves us, and he comes to embrace us. Now, number two, quickly, contingencies. That's like today. I had plans, I was going to do this and that and whatever else, but the car didn't start, so there were contingencies. Spiritual warfare in the life of the believer can bring contingencies. In the book of Thessalonians, Paul was going to go and minister somewhere. You know what he says in Thessalonians? But Satan stopped us. Now, it didn't ultimately stop him, but it did for that moment in time, for that, well, month or 2 months. There can be diversions, and so we need an adaptive approach. We gotta realize that there's a lot of contingencies in life, but when God speaks about the future, all of the contingencies, all of what I'm going to do, all of what I'm going to say, all of what I'm going to plan. Listen, if I was to stop right now and say, you know what, I'm going to fake God out. I've already written down on my schedule what I'm going to do from 8 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to change everything right now, and that'll probably really throw God off, right? No, not at all. God knows all the contingencies, all the possibilities, but he also knows exactly what will occur. Third thing, theoretical futures. That comes from theoretical physicists and trends, you know, those who study trends and the web bot technology, things like that. And so there's theoretical things that could occur. Will Israel attack Iran? Most people say yes. We don't know yet. We don't know exactly what will occur. Let me say in the context, though, there's a deceptive future. And I'm telling you right now, Satan is offering it. And millions, anyone grasping globalism, and for that matter, believing the concepts of the Mayan prophecies of a new order, or the Luciferian doctrine of the evolution of humanity to deification, once again, a promise that cannot and will not be fulfilled. Many people are being hoodwinked about their personal and ultimate futures. God will never do that with you. The fourth thing is actual events. When I die, will I actually see God? God promises me the gift of eternal life. God promises me if absent from the body, present with the Lord. God tells me in the book of Revelation, I will see God face to face. That's actual. You can count on what is actual. And there's so much of it. I encourage you, get to the Word of God. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web to find out more about us. Thank you for coming tonight. Survivetothrive.net. God bless you.